to me, it's very hard to create me. But it's a Greek translation. And when they wanted the color of the story, it says in 23, when they wanted the word to describe the color, this is the color that they used. So it's fiery red, but it is the color of blood. In Revelation 17, we saw the color of the beast is directly linked to the prostitute drawn from the blood. The beast has turned scarlet because the prostitute was drinking the blood of who? The blood of the saints. And from the witnesses of Jesus, that should be said. So the color of the scene of the second seal is appropriate for persecution and for bloodshed. As a result of this bloodshed, what's happened? The writer is given permission to do what? To take what from the earth? Peace. Peace is taken from the earth. Peace has to be spiritual peace. Peace in Christ. We were told back in chapter 1, verse 4, that Jesus greeted the seven churches. He greeted John, he greeted the seven churches, saying, peace and grace to you. Peace. Peace that only Jesus brings. Paul said, peace and grace to you. Often in his greeting, it's his peace. This one is not taking away any military peace. It is not peaceful because the war is absent. He's not taking or bringing about a military peace. He's taking away the gospel peace. By the way, making war. It takes away the gospel peace. The red horse represents those who rejected what the white horse had to say. To the white horse comes rolling out with the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Who is the gospel? The gospel is not a formula. It's not an ascent of faith. It's not a statement of faith. The gospel is Jesus Christ. That he's conquered. And he's still continuing to conquer. That's the gospel. The gospel is it. The gospel is that God so loves the world that he gave his only son so that whoever would just have a little bit of faith shall not perish but have eternal life. So no matter what happens with this red horse, if we believe, this war can't touch us. But there's something interesting about this world, in that this world is the only place in the entire universe that does not sing the song that we just sang. It is the only place in the entire universe that Christ has not yet conquered, that the Lamb who was slain has not yet conquered. The seven churches, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls. It's all about that conquering. What takes place here from the day that Jesus formed the church, if you will, and he ascended back into heaven? So what's interesting is when the gospel begins to be preached in the one place in the whole universe that isn't conquered, it brings not peace, but it brings life. It brings life. The peace that the white horse and the rider brought out in the first seal, this is the reaction of the world to that peace. This violence right here. The gospel is proclaimed first, the reaction comes next. There are people who either believe, have faith, and then there are people who decide not to. And that division between believing and not believing, believing how God feels about them, believing whether or not they want to believe that there is a God in the first place, and that he loves them enough to send his son, that division right there causes this war. That division right there causes blood to be spilled. That's the reaction, if you will, to the preaching of the gospel. Again, this is not a military war. This is not a war fought by the world. It's a sacrificial slaying, if you will, not a murder. I've got three reasons to put that out there. This is not murder. This is not war as we know war. It's a sacrificial slaying, this word. I'll give you three reasons why. Number one is, I'll go back to this. Number one is, the ox of the calf is the one that calls the red rider out. Out of the four living creatures, one is the only one that can be used as a sacrifice in the temple. The ox of the calf is the ox of the calf that calls him out. It's the as a sword. I want you to know that there are two words for sword in Greek. This one is not a long, broad sword. It's not a military sword. It's not one that a soldier would carry. It's a short one. It's about 18 inches long. It's a dagger. Now, it's used in many, many places. It's used 29 times in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us the time to divide one. Okay? But it seems to be a personal weapon. It's small, so it can be what? It can be concealed. If you live in the Roman Empire, you think as subjects of the Roman Empire, they're going to let you carry around a sword? No. If you're going to be armed, it might be concealed. Peter uses it. It's the kind of weapon he used in his enemy, claiming to protect Jesus. So it's only about the 12. Not when you take it to war. Especially if you're riding on a horse. You would be. It's not logical that this is military war. It is a military war. Something else is going on here. People are being sacrificed with it. It's the same sword, if you will, or dagger, if you will, or knife, if you will, that would be used in a sacrificial plan. Not a lot of sword. So that's what this weapon is. The word that they are given permission. He was granted to take peace away from the world. And when you take away peace, what begins to happen according to the New Testament? People begin to what? They begin to slay one another, to slaughter one another. There's a reason that that's not translated as kill or murder, because that word is a special word. It is slay or slaughter. It's a primary verb actually for butchering, especially an animal for food or sacrifice. You with me? It's not murder. It's not killing. It's not even a military killing, if you will. It's a sacrifice. People are being what? Sacrificed. It's used 10 times in the New Testament, all by John, by the way. And only one of them doesn't occur in Revelation. Occurs in his first letter to the church, when he describes Cain as slaying his brother. He actually describes him as a sacrifice, if you will. But it refers to Jesus four times in the verses of the study, chapter 4 and 5. The lamb that was what? The lamb that was slain, the lamb that was slaughtered. Was Jesus sacrificed? This is the same word that's being used here. Again, not a murder, but a what? A sacrifice, if you will. It seems to be a special kind of violent killing. There is a level of violence associated with this word. It's almost like saying, this is not
steadfast love, you keep in mind. You keep in peace. In peace because they what? Because they trust in you. I told you that it would be long before this got ugly, and God would be back to you. We were picturing martyrs, weren't we? We were picturing martyrs that we've heard. We were picturing that someday, maybe somebody in this room may be martyred. They martyred right in front of our eyes. It just might happen. We were picturing, I told you, it was going to get ugly fast, didn't I? Which is why the whole thing begins with the rider of the right horse, riding out to conquer and to, and continuing to conquer, if you will. To tell us that when this violence occurs, it occurs because the gospel is being preached. Not because it's not being preached, because it means to be preached. To recognize that when something bad happens, we look and we say, well, God is not present. His gospel is not present. The whole world won't believe the gospel. That's why we have all this violence. No, not at all. It's happening because it is being preached. It is being lived. It is being so when we see the violence, people in the citizenship of the kingdom of heaven, you and me, we're supposed to be at what? We're supposed to be at peace. We're supposed to be at peace. I'll tell you one of my favorite background Old Testament passages from this is that this peace and presence of God, David describes in Psalm 85. This Lord, you are favorable to your land, you restore the fortune of Jacob. For David and the iniquity of your people, you pardon what? All their sin. What's the word after that line of David? Selah. You know what Selah is? Selah is stop. It's a rest. You know, you do, you have a rest, right? And you can rest for how long? I played a piece in elementary school. I played the drums. I played a piece in elementary school with the entire page of rest. It was in 4-4 times, so we had to count actually all the way up to 182 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, you know, and all the way up to 18. You know, I forgot your grace to that. Rest. Say what is rest. So what is it that we're supposed to be finding our peace? Why is it we're supposed to be trusting God? Because he created me to be with your people, he pardoned them all their sin. And then he says, say what, rest. Shut up. Stop and just ponder that for just a second. Just a second. But we usually don't because we only have 20 minutes to read our devotion for the day, right? And nobody can do it 10 minutes until they write it. Here in 28, there's a modern Christian contemporary group called Salem. That just cracks me up that they made their YouTube group silent. So every time they see, they're not doing what their name tells them to do. Because they are taking it. The Psalms mean fun. Same with me, it's never going to be stopped. The ponder just one more step right there. Do we really trust God and create the iniquity of us and pardon all our sin? Past, present, future, doing? If we really believe that, the rest says we should have what? We should have peace. We should have peace. Then go on to say this. He goes on to say, will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. Grant us your salvation. That word steadfast love is that beautiful Hebrew word, chesed. You know, in Greek, it's agape, which is godly love, unconditional love, love that will not go away. In Hebrew, it is chesed. It's love that will not go away. Every other love will say it's like a cloud. It vanishes when it gets hot. It vanishes when trial comes along. Steadfast love goes nowhere. Steadfast love is on the mountain and it is going nowhere. So show us your what? Show us your steadfast love and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God will speak, or he'll speak what? He'll speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their heart. Surely his salvation is the man for those who fear him. That is, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love, chesed, and faithfulness will meet righteousness and peace for what? Kiss each other. If you believe that what's happened, then your righteousness, which God gave you, and you Church is a conflicted one that God's going to be like. So remember that violence is a result of rejecting the gospel. Instead, I didn't come to bring you to 1831. A sword. Now we know what the sword is, though, right? Now we know what the war is. You read that differently, don't you? Okay? For God comes to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, and one is told to be members of one's own household. It's so hard to believe that even family members can't convince everybody that they are loved. That God loves them. If the world hates you, be aware that they hated me before they hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. But you do not belong to the world. Why? Because we love. We love what the world refuses to. The world will love you up to a point. And that point is when it can no longer use you for anything. And once the world can't use you for anything, that's the condition the world places upon us. The believer continues to love. And for that, the believer continues to love, to believe that God loves them, and that God loves them too. And that's what makes the world angry. So we're told in the seven churches of your nation, grace to you and money, peace from the one who wants. The one who lives, and the one who lives, is God. Violence is a result of rejecting the gospel. Violence is a result of simply believing that God does not love you. Violence is the opposite. If we don't accept other people, we've been thinking that if the world commits murder against us, when actually the language is saying that it's martyr, not murder, guess what? The world doesn't murder. You know who martyrs? The church. Those martyred souls that John sees under there, 90% were done by the church, not by the world. There are very few places that have lost their lives because of belief was outlawed by the government themselves. Government may have carried it out, but it was influenced by whom? Church. By the way, it just isn't medieval Roman Catholicism either, it's medieval Protestantism. When the Protestants came about and got the leading power, they ended up martyring people too. Like I said, the church is divided over the gospel like anyone else. When we don't allow people to be who they are, when we don't teach them the full gospel, that God loves them just as they are. If we hold their salvation and their eternal life in front of them like a carrot, and they only hold it out for when they get their act together, then we're not giving them the gospel. And by the way, we're committing an act of violence against them. Secondly, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared that we have family and friends and loved ones that we're going to and you go